The Sample Access, administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah.
Sample Access Podcast has been a while. Episode number 71. We've been around the world and we're back. Thank God we had to be back for our. Thank you for rejoining us. Without further ado, what we do is we try to make sense of good music, and we do that through samples. My name is Boyega. This is Nelson, and we're back again.
Yeah, welcome back to Sample Access Podcast. This is episode 72. So I've been going on for 71.
Yes.
Oh, really? Why do I feel like we're all 72 already?
Because you are in a different metaverse.
Yeah. I thought we had already done 71, actually. You know, this is the second time I'm saying this, because somebody asked me recently, like, oh, yeah, what episode are you guys on now? And I told the person 72. Uh-huh. And then I realized this, that I was 70 that we did last time. So I'm like, no, yeah. We haven't recorded 71.
Actually, we probably should have taken a long break after 70.
Yeah.
Then just forget the podcast.
Not really, actually. There was supposed to be like a break that was supposed to happen.
But
there was no, you know, surety. That's right. But we're back now, Sha. So we're giving you the episodes, back to back. Yeah. But then we're going to start, today's episode with something very, very
today
special.
Is loaded, Abby.
Yeah, too loaded, in fact. Because if you think about it, this is not supposed to be a talk of 1 hour, actually.
Yeah.
Because that's where we're going to look for a way to squeeze it in.
We'll squeeze it.
In the real sense of the word, it's not supposed to be a 1 hour talk, because we're supposed to talk about, you know, apart from the fact, let me first start with the quartet that we're going to be talking about. Yeah. Lighthouse Family. It's a special ad episode. The first time we did the ad episode, we spoke about
Have we done Guinness. Two ad episodes?
No, this is the second one.
Are you sure?
Yeah, we did just one special
we
ad.
We did episode. Guinness and Kanye.
Yeah, Guinness and Kanye.
And then
we did
Sunshine.
Katrina and the Waves.
Are you sure we have not done another?
No, we have not.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, so this is the second one, and it's supposed to be, you know, extra special.
Hmm.
Meaning that, you know, one of the ads is an ad that kind of like syncs with, you know, the Nigerian kind of energy.
Oh, really?
We were talking about
SkyBank.
You know, SkyBank was so...
Oh, I think the other one resonates more with the Nigerian.
Yeah, but like two of them are proper Nigerian ads.
Yes.
You know how we always do ads that are not... Like Ovaltine's ad, Katrina and the Waves, is Nigerian, but not, you know...
When you say Ovaltine, there's another Ovaltine ad that was big.
Young
chairman.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that. But I'm talking about this one that had Katrina and the Waves. We're talking about the Sunshine part. So it's not, it was not, it's Nigerian, but you know, it's not like, Mama, you do good, oh,
you do much.
Yeah, you give us Indomie. That one is crazy Nigerian.
Yeah.
But when you think SkyBank and Lighthouse
but
Family,
that's...
first quartet, then the second quartet we would be talking about is the anniversary of a star.
Before you go all the way, I don't think that SkyBank ad was really, really Nigerian. It sounds like you both people trying to be Nigerian.
Yeah, but it was too cool. What I'm trying to explain to you is SkyBank, Nigerian, proper Nigerian.
Oh,
bank.
Yeah.
The music Lighthouse Family, weirdly, ask people from the early 2000s, that's their sound.
Yeah.
Anytime, you know, I run an old school show, anytime you hear people calling, there are like few people they call from the, and maybe because of the presence of the Nigerian in this, we're already getting too into the talk. That's what I was saying.
Mm.
The talk is actually a whole lot. But
yeah,
let's start with that first and foremost. We have SkyBank's ad, you know, which was branded I Wish,
and
which
star.
Was, you know, which was taking off the Lighthouse Family's I Wish, which was also a cover of Nina Simone's I Wish. Yes,
which
I
was
know.
Originally written.
Which was originally written by
jazz artist.
By jazz artist.
Billy Taylor.
So that's like a whole lot
it's
for
lot.
One part.
Yeah.
Then there's Steve Green doing the ad for Star when they wanted to do their anniversary in Nigeria. Star were around that time from 1949 to 2010, if I'm not mistaken, around the time. So that was basically 60 years in the country.
Are you sure this was 2010?
2009.
Yeah.
60 years, because I remember it was 60 years. So
there's a long history.
Yeah, there's a long history. So this was around the time where ads are still we'll get into that, because that's something I actually do want
Let's
to talk about.
Let's just get to it and break it down. So we have four pieces. We might have to branch out at some point and, you know, check out other pieces. But let's start with SkyBank. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think that's cool.
So SkyBank, now Polaris Bank. You know,
which is amazing. Let me tell you this. I'm just going to put this out there. I'm sure a lot of Nigerians felt the same way. I didn't know SkyBank. After SkyBank transitioned from SkyBank to what?
Something else I can't remember.
Exactly. I don't know what happened in the middle.
Yeah.
But the moment they turned to Polaris, I'm like, first of all, I remember I was one of those first set of people that was always asking everybody, who the heck are these guys? Do you understand? Like, who the heck are these guys? Like, how do they, like, do you understand?
Yeah.
How do they come to life and how are they so relevant? And then I realized, oh, Skybank actually became Polaris. I'm like, oh, yeah, that
I
makes
think it
perfect
was
sense.
Was it Afribank? I don't remember.
Probably for a short while, though. But I know the perfect, you know, after Skybank, you think Polaris Bank, because Polaris is like, you know, and Polaris is like...
Okay, it's from Afribank to... No, I'm missing it out.
Open up this tab.
So, a journey from Afribank to Polaris. It must be that you move from Afri. Afri is the oldest, if I'm right. Afribank.
I mean, the story says Afribank to Polaris. So, you're guessing that it has to be in the middle.
Sky is in the middle. Long and short. Long and short is that. These guys know how to use covers for ads. They did Hakuna Matata. Do you remember?
Yeah. What a wonderful phrase.
Matata.
Yeah.
For the rest of your day. It means don't worry. Yes.
Was that Skybank?
Skybank did Hakuna Matata. So the agency must have been...
I sure wasn't Sterling.
Just hold on a second. You're going to see it.
Wow. I thought I was Sterling.
I saw it just right now. It was... So they have a history of covering music. And I guess it's the same agency or the same consultants that, you know, does it maybe annually. And they do, you know, okay, let's find something else to cover this time. So, Hakuna Matata.
Oh.
And this is from Lion King, yeah?
Yeah.
Very nice. The cinematography is very Nigerian.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. Skybank know how to.
And
when
I think they
the agency.
In fact, I was playing the I Wish ad and someone resonated with it. If you were watching football at that time.
Yeah,
just knew that
sure.
Skybank,
of course, yeah. That would always
so
come up at some
big.
Point.
So, it was big. So that's about that. They know how to cover. Not like they know how to cover, but they do it a lot. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, right? But let's get to it. Skybank sampling, Lighthouse sampling, Nina Simone covering, Billy Taylor. Again, sampling may not be the exact word, but you get the point. Covering. So let's begin from all the way back. All
right.
Billy Taylor is a jazzist, very respected.
Yeah.
He was also a composer, arranger,
songwriter as well.
You know jazz musicians, the way they
always
were.
Like to, you know, meddle around stuff like that. It was a normal thing for most jazz musicians. They always like to, you know, do
the original
music,
musicians.
And then they're original OG. We like to call them OG musicians because those guys were crazy. They would play an instrument. They would write songs. They would arrange.
Yeah.
They knew every single thing.
So there was
an era where, you know, other jazz artists came around and they were, you know, they started to specialize. Before, if you are a jazz artist, you have to know how to do every single thing. You have to know how to riff, you have to know how to, you know, do the soft jazz, you have to know how to do the Miles Davis kind of jazz.
Yeah.
You need to be like everywhere. Your value has to, you know, reach every level.
So this man was born 1921. He died 2010, aged 89. He was also a broadcaster and educator. I was reading about his work on NPR, and he hosted some radio shows and TV shows, in fact, on NPR and other platforms. He was also an educator. He taught people jazz, how to, you know, make music in that form. And generally, he was respected for being an academic and also a thorough musician. There's a place called John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts in Washington. He was director of jazz around 1994, thereabouts. So, long and short, Dr. Billy Taylor is the original composer of this tune. And it was just composed as a jazz tune, a jazz session back then. I can't remember exactly when this was, but this, I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. That's his prime, you know, that's what he's known for. I'm trying to look for the particular date when this came out. And I think it was, he's best known for that song, achieved popularity with the civil rights movement of the 1950s and 1960s. So see, this is an old tune, must have come out around the 1950s. And then in 1967, Nina Simone dropped an album, Silk and Soul. And she covered the song and made it, you know, really popular. And again, this is a voice for the black movement. So long and short is that this song has a long history of iconic representation with the black rights movement in America. So again, talking about freedom, I wish I could say everything I want to say.
Let's go with it because, you know,
without this consequences.
Of course. See, at this point, anything you do, regardless.
But not in 1950.
Anything you do, regardless of how you say it, right? I mean, this nowadays, I think, you know, people get to judge you immediately you talk about anything. So your thoughts are your thoughts.
I think we're back to those times in a different form.
Yeah. It's like it's a merry-go-round. Yeah. Your thoughts are your thoughts alone.
So, yeah, you were making a point about freedom.
Yeah.
I wish I could say whatever I want to say. And Nina Simone really made the song popular by putting it, you know, by putting out, again,
the song was released in 1967, by the way.
Yeah, by the one for Nina Simone.
The original version, the OG composed version. And that's the first
one. One thing I don't know about is whether who wrote the lyrics.
Why he wrote and composed. So,
yeah. But then he's a jazzist.
But still doesn't matter. Like I said,
Nina Simone.
It's a thing that happens a lot. I know I've spoken a whole lot about Big Mama Thornton, and it's because I feel like people don't talk about her enough. It's because of, you know, the impact of music from all this kind of these ladies of the time. Hmm. They were musicians. They were singers. They were singers, but they could not, you know, they were not, you know, well equipped with arrangement, with writing, with putting things together. That's not their thing. Now you now have. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to sound like a racist, but you have a couple of white dudes or white males that understand music. I mean, the black guys came out later on, but I mean, you look all the way back, even down to the 80s, white people were still writing for black people. Mm. Rod Temperton for Michael Jackson, you know. I mean, like, we had people like Aha for Aha in the early 1980s. You know, a lot of white musicians that were writing, and that's all they did. Mm. Even till now, but they're not as crazy anymore, but because we have, I think after the late 80s, the black guys took over. Leon Sylvester III, Babyface, Teddy Riley, all those guys came around and took over the whole space. But, and then the R. Kellys, you know, for so many reasons right now. You get what I'm saying? But that was a thing that was normal. Like, you could sing. So as a black man, white man, you're a jazzist, it was okay for you to write and give to somebody else. And then they were always particular about there is a voice for a song. You listen to Nina Simone's voice on that song.
Yeah, no.
And yo, I mean, you don't realize how powerful her voice is until you hear her sing song. Like Cinnamon, like, you know, many of her classics, they are songs that people would not be able to reproduce. And for Lighthouse to pick up that song and do a cover, and that's where we get into it. Tuned by Wu is probably has one of the most unique voice ever.
Yeah, ever.
I know. I think I've started that, and I'll tell you why. His voice is so weird, but at the same time, he's so calming.
He's calm.
Like, he's such a weird voice. Like, why is this coming out from you? Do you understand? Like, and he's so calming.
He's calm, man.
One day I'm like, this guy sings like he's sleeping.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like,
he's laid back.
Yeah. I mean,
but when I push back and I say he's not ever.
Of course, you're thinking about vocal range, you know, all those people.
There's a uniqueness that comes with voices, right? Look at again, it doesn't mean they are the best of the best, but there is an identity to the voice. What's this man's name? What a wonderful, Louis Armstrong.
Louis Armstrong, yeah.
And then you talk about people like, who are these OGs?
Oh, yeah, like the Whispers.
James Brown.
James Brown, Red and White of Earth, Wind and Fire. Amazing voice.
What a wonder.
Howard Hewitt. It's true. I get where you're coming from.
So there are people,
have an identity. Like, you listen.
You know
to
that
them.
This person.
This is your voice.
It's not even about being a sweet voice. Or,
do you think Lighthouse Family were underrated?
I don't think they were. I think they were well appreciated. They were number one across Europe at some point. They are credited to be one of the most popular bands in Europe in the early 2000s and late 90s. So I think they took long breaks at some point, and people still connect with their music. But that's
it's just because of the soulfulness.
Yeah, leads me to the point about inspiration genre. I don't know how to say it, but their
lounge
genre
music.
Okay, that's lounge music. Yeah. The genre is uplifting music, you know, the world.
People still do that, though.
You know, we want the world to be a better place type of music. That's what they do with Ocean Drive, with Lifted, with I Wish and all of that. So I wish it's probably one of their biggest songs, obviously.
Yeah, no, it's not actually their. It's not actually even one of their biggest. Actually, it's one of their most coded songs.
It's top five.
I don't think it's top five.
Ocean Drive,
Ocean
High,
Drive, Lifted. High, Lifted. We'll call. I'm coming. I'm going to call out.
They are known for. They are known more for I Wish than, you know. Maybe that's.
Are you sure? There's Red Cloud. There's Lost in Space. There's
My
Goodbye Heartbreak.
I can assure
there's
you.
High. Let's go.
Yeah,
again.
Yeah. High
let's
is already high.
Let's go again.
High number one.
High number
Ocean
one.
Drive.
Ocean Drive.
Lifted. And then there's I Wish. That's it.
Are you sure?
Yes. There are many others.
I don't think so.
There are many others, but in terms of popularity and connection with people, you know, those are the songs. So 2001, yeah, 2001 they made this song, which was the first.
Not 2001 actually.
2000 and what?
1995.
1995. It was. Are you sure?
Yeah.
The album is Whatever Gets You Through the Day.
And
the
are you sure?
Yeah, the first single from that album is I Wish.
Please confirm.
Yes, please.
If it's Whatever Gets You Through the Day, that means it's the one is correct.
Yeah.
All right, it is.
I Wish.
It is.
So
it is.
So
it
that
is.
Song was the first single. In 2001, they had, you know, they had been outside in the 90s from 95 pushing forward, and then this came out. I mean, look at their titles, you know that these guys are just all about good vibes, family values, life has to be good, we just want to inspire and stuff, right? So, Tunde Bayewu and Paul Tucker, both British guys. Tunde Bayewu has a history. You know, his father was Nigerian, and he grew up in the UK as a Nigerian British or British Nigerian. And then the story goes on how at some point there was grief. He lost his pops and then he lost his mom. But before that, there is a part of his story that says his mom later got married or got engaged with former President Olusegun Obasanjo, but this time he was head of state in the 80s, I guess. So,
sorry, please say that again.
Yeah, facts.
That what?
His mom had a relationship with former President Olusegun Obasanjo. Yes, and
wow.
This was a long time ago.
Wow.
And he said he
you did
was,
your research. You
he
did
was,
your research.
He was 14 at the time, and Obasanjo would come to their house. Would you know bant with him? He was able to, even though he didn't want his stepdad, but he had to adjust. And then, you know, he has good words to say about him. And that was fascinating to find out because I didn't even expect. But this guy never really, you know, he identifies as Nigerian. He also connects to Yoruba a lot. For instance, at the end of the day. What song was that? Lifted.
Lifted.
It could be Lifted. He says, at the end of the day, comes from Ogunmodede. Facts. Yeah, he says he picks inspiration.
Oh.
I'll tell you the article. Is he picks inspiration from Yoruba tonal analysis, Yoruba, you know.
Yeah, you see, and I think that's why Nigerians connect more to
their roots.
Because, first of all...
Sorry, before you go on.
Yeah.
This thing is universal.
Yeah, it is, actually.
Yoruba Nigerians and Igbo Nigerians in Atlanta, in Baltimore, in New York, come out for Asake just because of that connection back home.
Yeah.
So when a Nigerian is playing out there, Omale or anybody, that's like... I'm sure they, of course, prefer to go to a Nigerian concert than, you know, McMill or whatever. They still go to those concerts, but there's a different feeling with Nigeria. So diaspora Nigerians still connect to also back home.
But then, you know, I was going to talk about something about, you know, how Nigerians connect to Lighthouse Family.
Yeah.
Let's not forget, Lighthouse Family is two people. It's actually a duo, Paul Tucker and Tunde Bayewu. It's just that Tunde Bayewu is the face.
Yeah.
Paul Tucker is, you know, making the beats and behind the scenes, sometimes writing as well. But, you know, Tunde Bayewu is like the face. So obviously you understand. It's like, oh yeah, it's, they are two, but like, you know, it's
so
one Tunde person.
So Tunde is the vocalist.
Yeah, it's the vocalist, you know. Plays Paul, a couple of
Paul,
instruments.
Paul,
well. Paul is the producer, sometimes writes. So, you know, those kind of duos. And I'm sure they had great synergy because for you to be able to stick with somebody that long, this was the time where people would do 2-3 years together and you'd be like, oh, more.
Yeah.
Me, I'd be like your, you know, I'd be like your boss on this thing.
But they never really admitted or said.
They never had any big issue.
If it was about money.
Yeah, they just always had, you know, time off, maybe from 2003 to 2009, they were not together. They're I think they were doing other stuff. They came back again. They were Tunde together for like 4 years. Yeah,
title Tunde.
Yeah, and then they came back again. Then they did and another they did album tours. In the later times, and then they just stopped. And I think around 2019, they were still doing a couple of, you know, some things out there, doing like music and all of that. So those guys are actually, you know, they understand themselves, and I think that's one of those things that actually, you know, makes it beautiful. But then I just really like for us to take us, you know, take it back a little bit.
Just to wrap up on Lighthouse, or take it back to where?
Yeah, I'll just take it back a little bit and talk about, you know, the progression of music and why Skybank's ad was probably one of the best then. If you think about it, that Skybank's ad was the ad.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
There were many others outside.
There were many. That's the thing.
What year was this, by the way? Yeah, this was 06.
06, 07. This was a time where ads were coming in like crazy. But
people, MTN was really burning.
MTN was not. MTN had that extra cool ad at this time.
Yeah, Ovaltine.
Indomie had their ad.
Etisalat was coming.
Etisalat. I don't think Etisalat already even come in then. I think Etisalat came in 09.
Yeah, 08, 09.
So, 08, 09. So these guys, there were a lot of ads. And this was World Cup season. So ads were flowing in. Pepsi. Yeah. Oh, Pepsi used to take us back with the ads. Yeah. Pepsi ads were way overboard. Like,
yeah.
Pepsi ads were like movies. Like, what exactly are we doing here?
So 06, Skybank was like...
Yeah, Skybank for a Nigerian
that
company.
That particular ad was Nigerian really popular. Bank PHB. Do you remember Bank PHB?
But the thing is...
Cars will run on water.
Yes, now. All this amazing stuff.
Yeah.
All these things are... All of these guys, as at that time, they couldn't touch Skybank. I'm talking about the banking sector.
Okay.
Now.
I wanted to say...
Of course, you know... No,
Pick Milk and I mean, Canon Waffle.
Now, going back... Yeah, Pick Milk. Now, going back to that. I'm one of those people that I don't know how to say this and not sound annoying.
Disrespectful. Say it and sound annoying.
Because I'm an ad guy too. Like I make my small money off ads, writing some of them. Man, we don't have ads like before.
Are you sure though?
Yeah, we do. We have ads are everywhere. I mean, you are seeing Storm, you are seeing...
But there are no iconic ads.
It's not about iconic ads. Ads, maybe I don't want to use that word because guys are really putting in a lot of effort to make stuff. And yo, big shout out to Xavier Obi, man. You know, that man is a beast. You check top ads in Nigeria, and his name is like literally everywhere.
What's the last big iconic ad we have seen? Not iconic, he has done something iconic. That is memorable. In the last 2 years.
2 years.
I can remember one. It's not that bad.
Think about one. We had Airtel. Airtel ads have been great.
It's not that bad. Oscar. 444.
Airtel ads have been great. And that's
444 is not even a creative...
No. Like, it's...
Direction.
Yeah.
It's just a song.
Yeah, but
then... it resonated.
But apart from that, Airtel ads have been awesome. And a couple of Glow ads too, you know, with the celebrities, has not been bad.
I don't enjoy it.
That's where I'm going to. We have loads of ads. We have a proper industry for advertisement. But we have not hit that, you know... That peak, did you get that? That Skybank, I wish. That's...
I don't think it's all that though.
Okay, let's take Skybank.
It was good, and this was 2006. So there's a context.
We have not hit. Do you remember Thermocool? I'm sure you probably don't remember.
I don't remember. Do you remember
from the 80s?
MTN, the kid that wanted to stand up. There was a small kid that.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know, but like.
Those creative ads are no longer. They are still here, but not anymore. We don't put so much work into them. Or maybe something has happened.
I'm trying to think of a way to wrap it up because I have big respect for everybody in the industry. You understand? These are people that I would love to work with, you know, sometime in the future. But I'm just saying, my friend Udeme was a great man.
We'll get to that.
That was an ad. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, Jeremy was a storyline. Told with music and pictures and not so many words was perfect. Do you understand? Hakuna Matata, when you think about it, was that hard too? Jigged. So it's like things have changed now. We're more modernized. Tech is increasing. But I mean, I saw Volkswagen's ad like 4 years ago. Was it 4 years or 5 years now? Although I saw it again last year and it really inspired me again. Jean-Claude Van Damme, Volkswagen. We're talking about the alignment of a car and how good the precision of Volkswagen cars are. and they used what's her, this lady, the lady that does the soulful thing, Enya.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And then Van Damme said a couple of words. It was so short, but you know, as an art person, you're like, yo, what the heck? Do you understand? And then he does that, you know, Van Damme now, he does that split thing.
Yeah.
And then the cars are going. And then even from the beginning, when he started talking, we hear, dun, 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 and then the moment he stops talking, yeah, who can say whether? You need to see that ad, man.
Wow.
First time I saw it, and this was me, like, regular guy just watching my stuff, yeah? I had literal goosebumps, bro. Like, I'm like, yo!
That's the effect.
Why do I feel this way?
So Nigerian ads, what I have noticed from our conversation is that I think the creative side may have reduced a little bit. There's more money, and there's more... Even when I say that, you look at the investment that went into Udeme and other heavy ads. But now we see more graphics, more clean cameras, 4K and all of that.
Yeah.
But less and less stories that really touch, something like that. Not like we don't see them, but not as much as we used to. I think before people really, you know, look at this, not to disrespect, people will have a lot to say about this episode. Chipper and Burner Boy, they have done a lot of try to tell a story, but it's not hitting. There's this one, send me $5,000, I'll come and perform before your family, and when I was angry, like, shit, this one, they whine me. Like, it wasn't really hitting, but, you know, that's...
That could have been done differently.
Yeah, and then I think there's a lot more, like I was saying, more spending on clean pictures and influencers. Look at IG. There was an IG 10 years ago. But now, IG, in fact, there's a lot of whack advertising on IG and influencer.
I don't like that, though. Even though that's something that I have to come
investing more on, let me just pay an influencer, say some things without giving it...
You know, we had this conversation off recording one time when I was trying to explain my distraught at the fact that, you know, a lot of things are not going the way it used to be anymore. There's like, you know, there's an improvement in the technological aspect of making ads. It had to be, I heard from somebody.
Yeah.
Now, I heard from somebody is a social media presence. And marketers know, because the stats talk about this, that this is where you make the money from. Do you get what I'm saying? So all of that made up into one is what makes it easier for influencers. And big ups to all of them. I respect the creative energy. But I just think, you know, somebody like me that is old school, I would like to do it the old way, you know, add the tech and just make it more better. That cheaper ad, as you just said it, I'm sure the person that wrote that ad had another idea.
Yeah.
I'm sure, like, I've written ads before that I laughed after writing the ad because I know that it would probably never air.
I want you to weigh in on this one. There's this story recently on Twitter. There's this ad that someone...
We had a conversation about this already.
Prime Video.
Oh, okay.
Jackpot to Prime.
Oh, wow. I've not seen that.
So Prime came to Nigeria. I don't know how many names we can retain on this episode, but all the brands are here. We're sorry. And we don't mean disrespect. Netflix has been here for a while.
Yeah.
For 2 years or thereabouts, Prime wants to introduce themselves or their product into the market. And the hashtag on Twitter was Jackpot to Prime, essentially telling people to move away from
the older ads.
Netflix.
They said it outrightly.
No, that's not what they said, but that's what he meant.
It's like a red brand.
No. Jackpot to Prime simply means Netflix has been here. In fact, there was a price comparison.
How much is it now?
I think it's 1.3. And Netflix is like 1.8. I'm not really sure.
I'm really into
but
this.
The conversation on Twitter led everybody to know that this is higher.
That's crazy.
We have more movies here.
Yeah.
That was the direction of the conversation. And someone now said Jackpot to Prime is such a whack way to introduce a campaign or to lead a campaign.
No, it's not.
You think so?
Yeah.
But I look agree on both sides because
it's how it's been done.
The person who
it's the idea.
Who projected or who showed, you know, disaffection or who didn't like this package came on Twitter and said, the guy who wrote this Jackpot to Prime line is probably feeling himself now, even though it's a Raz line. And some people agreed with him. Other people said, yo, you don't know what you're saying, because Japa is a double entendre to say you're moving from Niger to abroad, and is a common phrase. So they're latching onto the phrase. So I'm indifferent. I agree with those who said it sounds Raz. I also agree with those who said this is creative.
Well, it's
so,
a community. You're working with your community. When you, whatever you're doing in terms of creativity, location, location, location. What I'm going to do, if I may take it to the US market, it's like ads. Ads have different levels and different ways in different parts
and
of the world.
The audience you're talking to.
Yeah, yeah. In Poland, their ads are always like, in like 10 seconds, you know, they will speak their language in 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and that's it. You start the ad. Wow. And that's it. And that's the ad. Do you understand? You are specifically, and you know what? Polish people, they love the heck out of those ads. Mm. Do you understand? Because that's their thing. Now we are coming to Nigeria where we like everything to be Nigerian. Hmm. We are so, even no matter how much we hate the fact that the country is not bad, when you are coming to sell us something, make it as Nigerian as possible. And Japa, whether we like it or not, this year has been probably one of the most used words.
Yeah.
So the creative idea of using that word to push the brand is smart. Now, how they do it, because I've not seen the ad
executing
yet, how they do it, is that what makes it different? Do you know you can do the jackpot and make it look very emotional look, make it look very weird? Like, what the heck is going on? Then you see something like jackpot, like, oh, I mean, you could. This is me throwing out the free idea for anybody. The idea of using of girls nowadays and guys nowadays doing the whole jackpot party and the stretch line from I'm leaving the country, like. Leave the country with me. It's a TikTok thing now.
Mm.
They wake up in the morning of the day they're leaving the country, or 2 days before I'm going to make my hair, I'm going to cut my hair, I'm buying new clothes, I'm packing my food. People do that now.
Join me as I show you.
Imagine you do that with a proper camera, proper story. Join me as I transition from Netflix to Prime Video. Okay. Or join me as I transition from my... I mean, this is something that I'm telling you, you know what? Because I'm one of those people that believe in how God works, that, you know, he throws the idea on everybody. Probably 6 or 7 people have seen this. You tell them, they'll say, somebody else has put this out there. And then just the person just doesn't like it. They want to work with the shorter ad.
Yeah.
Or they want to tell the other girl that's on Instagram or the guy on Instagram to use it.
So, Lighthouse Family, nobody could have sued or nobody could have taken royalties for Skybank's ad. This was 2005.
Yeah.
Not much was happening in terms of, you know,
in this part of the world.
This was around the same time.
And they probably did the right thing, because they are banker. They are
a global bank. Yeah, they may have reached out to these guys to say, we want to do this. And because the song is still on somewhere on YouTube and SoundCloud under the name Center Spread. That's likely the agency that executes the gig. That's about that. We're going to play some beats of the Jazz and Nina Simone and Lighthouse Family and the Skybank ad.
Yeah.
Skybank changed some of the lyric, of course.
To Skybank. To
execute.
Yeah.
Skybank is always there, saying yes to your needs. Yeah, saying yes. In fact, saying yes became the identity across the country.
Yeah,
when you get to a Skybank branch, you would see yes.
Yeah, and B, yes, yeah.
So I expect they should have paid a lot of money.
Of course they did. I'm sure they did.
I'm
sure they did. It's like...
like, this Asha's, is a whole
Asha's,
idea.
It's like Asha's, I believe, and of GTB.
Oh, wow. I can't remember that. That should be another episode.
I believe that. That's something, too. Like, they used... there was one time I went to GTB, like, 2 or 3 years ago. Oh, more.
They will play it.
Hey, wait. At some point, you unconsciously, you're like, when they start singing, you're like, I believe.
Yes, sir. And it's conditioning. That's about that. So let's just take snippets of those pieces, and we'll be back on the flip side. Thank you.
it feel to be free? I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole round world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars I need.
I wish I knew how it would feel to be free. I wish I could break all the chains holding me. I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear, for the whole wide world to hear. I wish I could share all the love that's in my heart. Remove all the bars that keep us apart. And I wish you could know how it feels to be me. And you'd see
saying yes to my need.
I wish that I knew what it feels like to be free. Oh, to smile every day of my life. And I wish I could go far in life without stress.
Listen to the wishes of your heart, because
sky bed is always there, saying yes to your need.
Sky Bank, expanding your world.
All right, welcome back to the Sample Access Podcast. Nelson, the main man, right here, alongside Mr. Adioya. We need to look for something. You like Mr. Adioya?
I like everything except
Gwejizi.
I don't like that one.
And Gwejizi just comes to me easily, you know. Yeah. That's my thing for you, Gwejizi. Like, there's no need to, you know, walk around it. Well, we're about to talk about the second ad. The first part of the show, we spoke about Skybank and, you know, their sampling of Lighthouse Family's music that was done in 2001, I wish. And the original song, the OG version, that was released in 1967, written by Billy Taylor, and was done by Nina Simone. Now, we talked about, you know, their influence on the culture, many things. In fact, that first part is packed. So we're going to go into another part of the show right now. So in 2010 or 2009, if I'm not mistaken, 2010 actually, an ad was released that was directed by Steve Green. Now, Steve Green currently works for Jordan Publishing. He has been there for like 40 years, white man, but he understands, you know. You know, when you're doing advertising, you just know how it is.
Yeah.
You know what's up, you know what's going on. So it's like, the vibe is there, the energy is there. So like, you just want to, like, you know, probably send a message through like the ad. Like, you're trying to connect with the Nigerians. And I don't know why they picked this song. Because if you think about it really, do you think Jeromy is, beyond its meaning, do you think Jeromy is just like, you know, that Nigerian heritage song?
I think so.
That's why. Because that's the only thing that makes perfect sense. Because
Jeromy is one of those songs.
Yeah.
It's like that Cardinal Jim Rex Lawson song.
Which of them? Sawali?
Was it Sawali we worked on?
No.
I go tell my papa. Yeah, that's Sawale.
Yeah, Sawale. Yeah.
I think it's one of the, especially from Eastern
Show
Nigeria.
Show Nigeria, like Priestly Kumbago's Aki Special.
Baby Ansa, Biobio.
Yeah.
Edikwansai. Those are staple sounds from Eastern Nigeria.
Yeah, so Victor Wifo, I'm sure you guys know who Victor Wifo is.
Agba.
Friyoyo. That man did not age till he died. No jokes. I mean, you saw him. He was a bodybuilder, which makes perfect sense now. You think about it, that man probably went even in his 80s before he passed. He's passed now, you know, in the year of our Lord, 2022, he passed recently. God bless his soul. And he was an inventor. He was also a lecturer of music in Benin, Edo.
Uniben, actually.
Before he passed, you know. And he made a couple of songs. But in 1965, Jeremy was released. Now, they have tampered with that song so much. There are like so many versions of Jeremy. Do you know the OG version?
No, I don't know so much.
The OG version remains the same thing. It remains the same vibe. It's just the arrangement of the music. It's a very slow start.
That's High Life now.
Yeah, it's a very slow start. It's like tun 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 tun.
By the way, before you go on, do you know that's the basis? Orlando War.
Those are
the basis for all the Owambe you see outside today. Yeah, everybody takes from those babas.
Yeah, true.
All this guitar progression, it's almost like they're not inventing something.
No. But easy, you have 12 notes. What do you want to work with?
You know what Sue has?
But there's a bedrock for all this kind of music. It's like High Life. We spoke about High Life one time when we were talking about Manifest and the like. There is always a kind of like, you know, a
format.
Version. There's a way.
Template.
You understand? There's a way you make all this kind of music. So when you have that, like, for example, High Life houses, it's like picking off cavemen. Cavemen to use almost, listen to all their songs.
And I'm sure they create.
Yeah.
Look at their staple sounds. This guitar chord you just played. That's one. There's another one that's popular, Orlando War.
I know that.
And then there is Wasiu.
Bringing it down.
So it's like if you want to play Owambe, you have to start learning with those. And I'm glad to introduce Asake to the Hall of Fame. Because you go to Owambe now, you hear. Maybe they are not introducing, you know, bass lines and guitar chords now. Maybe they are not specifics, but those choruses are available for Owambe folks. You know, new Afrobeats artists give them these choruses to play with on their live band shows. But the musicality, the original arrangements that we get from Orlando, from Wifo, from Wasiu, I need to see more. Maybe not more. Maybe they're not made for it.
Do you know, I spoke about this thing one time. I don't know whether I remember. Probably like 2 years ago when we were talking on one of our talks, probably on the podcast or not. I was talking about the fact that these guys have to go back and pick up sounds from these guys. Yeah. Like, what I mean, Fuji, High Life, you have not tapped it finish. You listen to some High Life music and you're like, what the heck? No. I think High Life musicians, there was one time I saw one video. I think it was on Instagram. They were just showing all these old videos. I think it was Oriental Brothers. And then they showed where they wanted to go and play one party. And I'm like, how I wish. I just want to, like, you know, if it's possible to go back, you know, back to the past. I just want to attend. Because, bro, the setup alone, people were already going crazy. They had not done anything. Like, they were, no, it was mad. The Nigerian music vibe was probably mad in that time. Because these guys were practicing for the night show. And they had no choice but to
play.
Do a show. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, it was just that, you know how...
Practicing is still...
Yeah, you know
reflex.
How... Yeah, you know how, like, you know, you go to a party and then, you know, probably, like...
Attesting.
People never come around, so that you're just, you know, giving
two,
their...
Two.
Two. And then, you know, this one just... It just says...
Fuani bass.
Yeah, it just says... that the drummer just said...
Yo, I love... This is what cavemen do, right? I want to play you a high life session by Demola Suzy, right? Demola is a Tungba musician, but he's also a thorough musician as well, who makes albums from Ilaje. Pay attention to this and look at the high life flow.
I don't know what he's saying.
So you can hear the conga, you can hear, you know, Sese Pariwo will continue and then he will continue to speak on it. The drums. You know, the guitar will do the magic and all of that. So High Life is just beautiful, right?
It's beautiful.
And I'm sure in Igbo, in those,
I think I've told you about this before.
It's still very much alive. Maybe
yeah,
not
it is, it
as
is,
expressive,
it is,
but
it is. It's not.
Alive.
It's not. And it's even
in
more,
Yoruba, juju is the juju dominates our Owambe shows.
But High Life being done in Yoruba music is. I have, like, you know, I think I have a general love for High Life, because even though I love the approach that Igbos take, because Igbos versions are very sharp, you know, except they are and that's the good thing about how they understand the music. And I think it was because they integrated the music more into themselves. Do you understand? Like, they took it more. They're like, oh, yeah, let's
that's their grandfather's music.
Yeah. But then, you know, it came from the Ghanaians originally. Mm-hmm. But I think they just understood how to mess with it.
Are you saying?
I'm saying because
you know Yoruba to Eddie Kwanza. Move faster forward.
Yeah, that's why I'm going somewhere. Eddie Kwanza has a temple.
Oriental Brothers.
Yeah, Oriental Brothers has a temple. Then you go to Osadebede, that's a different temple. Now they almost sound alike, but they are different temples.
Celestine,
you do that with Yoruba High Life players. There's like a.
How many do we have?
That's the thing.
Lots of people went to juju.
Yeah, but like, I still love Yoruba High Life. Because when Yoruba High Life is going down, those guys are serious.
Dr. Victor Olaya.
Yeah, no. I mean, Olaya is probably the only person you think about in your mind.
But they
Eddie Okunta did it too.
Yeah.
Eddie Okunta's early songs. Fine, Fine Lady. Yo, those kind of songs. You when you hear, boom, boom, don, don. Don't you know that that's like your
can't even they go.
You get what I'm saying? Like, you know, there's a kind of like vibe to it. And then those Igbo guys, they would have their different approaches for, like, you know, the different sounds. And what, maybe I think most of the time the message plays a lot on how they approach the music. I mean, if you're talking about Wayo pastors, it has to be hot. So you're like, then there's a way they start. And everybody's just, it's like a rough session. And then in Joromi, you have the original version, the OG version that starts very slow, but the version that we know now, and the version that was used on the, in the ad, that was more commercial sound like.
Let's get back to this ad.
The ad
it's
was
star.
The ad, yeah. It was I'm going to try and remember the name of the man. It follows a man that, you know, starts from one of the things that makes ad beautiful is
starts 60 ad, employing Joromi, and of course Baba would have been handsomely compensated.
Very well,
handsomely compensated.
I'm sure.
It's a story of starting before independence when they arrived Nigeria, when they started the business. To 60 years later, when they
I think that's why I rate it as probably one of the best ads that came out of
Nigeria,
the country, because
Nigeria's history
of the execution.
Yeah, it's iconic
how it is being done. Like, you know, you are showing the lives of every truck driver that has gone through from 1949 to 2010, and you show it. I don't know. That's this kind of ad now, you know, a lot of money
went into it
because, yo, look at the props, look at the gates, look at they must have, you know,
the people,
look at the houses, look at the places they went to. I mean, I heard they did Lagos, Ilesha, and a couple of places, like everywhere they did was in the southwest, and they did one in the east too. So that's like, this is like 3 weeks of three weeks of recording 1 minute 30 seconds. So like, you know, and see the change in time.
So that's millions, obviously.
Millions, probably running into dollars. Millions, maybe $1 million.
Maybe 100. It can't be up to 100.
It could actually be.
It can't
because
be
think about
million.
Props. No. Taking a lot of money.
This was 2010.
I'm saying, yeah. But
let's say 30 million, 40 million.
Maybe more. Maybe more. Ad breweries like this don't bring out their stuff. They don't tell you how much you spend on marketing.
Yeah.
But when you see their advertising money for a year, you understand why you can actually take off 1 million off it. Because maybe they're, I mean, that's one thing that makes business in the whole world is advertising. You know, people have special budget for advertising every year, and they have a special career they put. So, Jeromy, the other, we're going to talk about Victoria Waifu, OG, probably one of the best to do it. He made music till the time of his death, and this was like no jokes. That's what he did.
What class does music it belong person. To?
Top tier. Tier one.
No, I'm not talking about class in terms of tier. The age he started.
Oh, the age. He started in 65.
65, really?
Yeah, early 60s. So it's Fela's age range.
King Soniade.
King Soniade, Fela.
Orlando Owo.
Ebenezer Obey.
Victor Olaya.
So that's his set. So they came
even though those are like 50s, everybody.
Yeah, he started like, you know, make music in the 50s, but he was a school person. He's a scholar.
Yeah.
He was a scholar before he passed. So he's a school person. So he was taking break times to school and all of that. But he worked with a couple of bands as well. He was, you know, up and about in terms of making his music. We're going to do a proper episode on him.
Hold on. Are we talking about King Soniade being around in the 60s?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Don't you remember the ad, the English ad that he did in the early 70s? He was already making music in the 60s.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's 6 years of making music.
Yes.
And he's still performing on stage.
Yes.
Bruh.
I mean, like, King Soniade is like a living legend.
Look, it's crazy. Not many people are around. Fela is gone.
I saw something yesterday, which was crazy as
wow. That man is iconic.
Crazy as F. Somebody was talking about the fact that look at the Nigerian music scene. When you are good, you stand the test of time.
And you, when you, and are, it's no when jokes. You are alive.
When you are good and alive, death does not take you away.
Hmm.
You stand the test of time.
Hmm.
He was talking about, say, look, he was speaking about, it was about Portable actually, which is quite strange that we're bringing him into this conversation, but it is what it is. You know, he was talking about like, look, I want to learn. I don't want to say hip hop. I say what Nigerian you. Because it was 20 years, and it's true, maybe 20, 21 years. So, and everybody does hip hop. One, load you 4 years, 5 years, low. To buy low 4 years in the music industry. And that's what I believe in too. To buy 4 years, 5 years in the music industry. Obaniel.
Hmm.
It was to buy low 10 years. Osha.
Osha,
you know what I'm saying? Like, from Oba to Osha. And then you now think about people like, you talk about this thing like, people like Pasuma can do 30 years on stage.
Hmm.
Plus, and you look at Pasuma right now, he's still going to Canada, going to UK, even if it is just a corner in an alley or maybe a small clubhouse, everybody's full. People are sweating inside cold conditions.
Yeah.
Because you want to listen to Pasuma sing.
He earned it. You know, I was listening to late SAB, Baba Alhaji Sikira in the barista, the Le Fuji exponent, the pioneer, Mr. Fuji, the founder and orator, or I don't know, the pioneer musician in the Fuji music genre, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was an album where he was talking about Teba Mure Niko Yeke Matakumi, like, I started this and you people should pay me my respect, right? That was when.
Yeah.
And there was another album where he said, you know, he was praying for himself. At that time he was sick. He was praying that Ubibating Bala Ilara Dakunwagwa Mi O Ilahi Alahura. This was the time where he really wanted to, you know, still be alive. And
oh, okay.
So I think you're blessed to be around at 1960 and to still be outside in 2022.
Amen.
So apart from, of course, it may be good, but long life might be a different thing. Look at, again, all these are OGs, that Babas that we respect. Ebenezer Obey is now old and he is not able to go outside anymore. He's not able to do as much as, you know, if he wants to perform now, he'll probably be seated, you know, because of, you know, his health. And you look at all the others, some of them have passed. Majek Fashek, gone. Fatai Rolindola, I think he passed as well. So I think it's a matter of being good and being blessed to be alive. Again, everybody gets their grace.
Yeah, true.
Whatever you're able to do, you have done your bit and you're... But we celebrate people like King Soniade, who, because I don't see anybody else who is in his class still outside. Everybody else probably left or is not playing anymore. Kwaman is still very much outside. Albums is still feeling yuppie. He was just recently given the Member of the Order of the Niger Award, MON.
Yeah.
Kwaman, King Wasiwa Inde Masha, Mayegun of Yorubaland, all of those titles. He's globally acclaimed and he's that guy. He's like the prince of Nigerian music, if you like to say that.
True.
The prince of, you know, Nigerian music from then. The new king of Nigerian music right now is Wizkid, undisputed. And, you know, there are many more kings coming. And that's about that. Any more things we should add before we wrap up?
I think we should check our synopsis.
So I was just going to take some snippets of Jeromy. And,
yeah, and I think we're going to some other time.
And the link to this ad, we'll put this in the show notes so people can check.
Some other time we would get to talk about, you know, Victor Wifo as an artist. You know, maybe we take one of those special episodes and put it out for him. You know, so that we can actually pay our respects, because there's not enough time to talk about him right now. But surely you will get us again. We're right here.
Yeah.
To give you the best of the best.
Thank you everyone for always listening. And we out.
We out.
The 1st of October 1960. Our great day has arrived. Today is Independence Day.
Responsibly.
The Sample Access, administered by Boyega Nelson.
Yeah.